Welcome. Today we're studying Likutei Sichas, Volume 13, the second Sicha in Parshas Palescha. Here we go. This week's Parsha tells us, Va'ish Moshe Anav Ma'od Mikol Ha'Adam Asher Al Pnei Adam, which means that this man, Moshe, is the most humble man who walks upon the face of the earth. Now, let us remind ourselves we're talking about Moshe here. Moshe, the one who took us out of Mitzrayim, the man who God chose to be the vehicle to give us the Torah. In this week's parasha, we're told whenever Moshe wanted to have an audience with Hashem, he was granted one. Moshe, who is the prophet of all prophets, Moshe, who even Mashiach himself will not be at the same level of prophecy of Nevuah as Moshe is. What do we mean when we say that Moshe is a humble man? If you would have asked Moshe, tell me, are you a great guy? No, not really. That's not humility. That's either not knowing who one is or simply not being honest. If you go over to Einstein and you say, are you a smart guy? He says, no, I'm not such a smart guy. So that's not called humility. That's called that's foolishness. Humility doesn't mean that I'm a nobody or I think that I'm a nobody, because one of those two is true. Either you are a nobody, in which case there's nothing you need to be humble about. As the expression goes, don't be so humble, you're not so great. Or, conversely, if you are really great, but you don't know it, or you don't realize it and recognize it, that's not called humility, that's just not being in touch with yourself. So what do we mean by Midas Ha'anava, through the prism, through the lens of Yiddishkeit? What do we mean when we say that someone is a humble person? The answer, perhaps one that you've heard before, is as follows. A humble person recognizes exactly who he or she is, but goes through the following thought process. It's a two-stage process. Step number one is, everything that I have is not mine. It comes to me as a gift from God. If I happen to be smart, I happen to have good looks, I happen to be talented, I'm an artist, I'm a singer, that's not my doing. It's hard to be filled and think of oneself as great if you recognize and realize that it doesn't come from you, it comes from someone else. So that's the first stage of humility. The first stage of humility is recognizing that what I have doesn't come from me. But that's not enough. Then comes step number two, because step number one only gets us to the point that we don't think of ourselves as being better than anybody else, because it's not me. I got it as an inheritance. I got it as a gift. So it wasn't my doing. But humility is also to truly feel humble before another person. In other words, there's the feeling that someone else is in fact greater than you are. That person is greater than me. Now, if I just think of it as coming from God, that says, okay, I'm not greater than you, but how can I look at you as being greater than me? And the answer is with step number two. Because I look at you and I say, you know, if you would have been given that gift from God, you would have done a lot more than I did with it. And no one can truly look at themselves and think to themselves and say to themselves that they have truly maximized the potential and all the gifts that God has given to them. And therefore, this is the thought process of Moshe. Step number one is, of course, Moshe knew who he was. Number one is he recognized that everything he had comes from God. And number two, if someone else would have gotten that, they would have utilized it and maximized it to a far greater degree. So that is what we mean when we say that Moshe is great. However, dear friends, the journey that the Rebbe begins today in analyzing what we mean by anava, humility, is the following question. That might be true of many, many aspects of Moshe. He was chosen for this, he was given this gift, he was born to these parents, given this education, given this background. But Moshe himself, there was something about Moshe that was indeed greater than other people, and that was the fact that he was a Navi. Nevuah. He had the capacity to be a prophet like no other. Now, yes, that was a gift. But what do we mean when we say, if someone else would have gotten, they could have utilized it to a greater degree? No, prophecy is not something you can utilize to a greater degree. Prophecy is something indeed and truly that is a gift from God. So fine, I'm not feeling to myself to be greater than anybody else. Moshe didn't feel himself to be greater than anybody else. But how could he truly feel himself to have humility in the sense that he truly looked at other people and said, well, they could have utilized it, but you can't utilize humility. Humility is a gift that you get from God. So this is the segue and the opening to discussing Midas Hanava, to discussing humility. And this is the question we have. How can it be, when it comes to Moshe's capacity for prophecy, that he is indeed a humble human being? Okay. To understand this, we're going to go to a Mishnah, a teaching at the very end of Masechet Sota. The end of Sota, the Gemara says, Mishamet Med Rebbe. When Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the author of the Mishnah, the great Rebbe, the leader of the Jewish people, when he passed away, Batla Anava, the Yirat Chait. Two traits left this world. With his passing, we no longer have these two character traits. What are they? Anava, humility, and Yiras Chait, fear of sin. These two great capacities left the world with Rebbe's passing. This is what the Mishnah says. Says the Gemara, The Gemara says, whoa, a man by the name of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef comes along and he says to the Tana, to the author of this teaching, who talked about Rebbe's passing, he says, 1 minute. Why are you saying that anava, that humility, that capacity, that trait is gone from the world? Ika ana, I exist. And I embody and I have that capacity for anava. Comes along sage number two, Rabbi Nachman, and Rabbi Nachman says, whoa, 1 second. Fear of sin? Fear of sin? That didn't disappear with Rebbe. I am an example of somebody who has Yiras Chait to the nth degree. And that's what the Gemara says. Okay? Let us analyze and let us discuss the Gemara. The Rebbe asks two questions. And then there's the obvious question that probably many of you are already thinking. Question number one. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Nachman, these two great sages, these two incredible personalities, they actually lived at the same time. They knew each other. They were familiar with each other. They must have known the qualities, each other's qualities. So the question becomes, why don't Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Nachman, either together or separately, say, hey, Mr. Tana of the Mishnah, you taught this Mishnah and said that when Rebbe passed away, Yiras Chait and Anava are gone. What are you talking about? We have me and Rabbi Nachman, or Rabbi Nachman would say me and Rabbi Yosef, we are around, and between the two of us, you have these two traits. They obviously knew the other person. Why are they each talking about themselves? Why don't they mention the qualities of their compatriot, of their companion? It's question number one. Question number two is a build on this, and that is, the fact that they don't say it means that they don't feel it. That's the truth. So Rabbi Yosef, who comes along and says, there is humility, because there's me, must feel that the other attribute, the other character trait of Rebbe, Yiras Chait, fear of sin, that truly did dissipate and disappear once Rebbe passes away. He must somehow feel that his colleague, Rabbi Nachman, somehow doesn't have that attribute. We'll discuss that. Conversely, Rabbi Nachman, who says, I embody and I really have this trait of Yiras Chait, the fear of sin, he must feel that his colleague Rabbi Yosef doesn't have it, and that doesn't exist in the world. But 1 second, we actually have a teaching that says that the way to reach Yiras Chait, the way someone reaches fear of sin, is by being an anav, by having humility. Humility is the prerequisite for Yiras Chait. So if Rabbi Nachman is saying that no, Yiras Chait exists, fear of sin exists in the world, that means that he must already have anava, he must already have humility. So the question is, you, Rabbi Nachman, you say that Yiras Chait, that fear of sin exists in this world, how can that exist without anava existing? Don't you have anava as well? So this is the analysis of the Gemara that the Rebbe brings. But then there's the big question. The big question is, there is humility. Look at me, I'm humble. Isn't that the very opposite of humility? To walk around and say, I am Mr. Humble? Doesn't that undermine the very existence of humility? The answer is how we began today's class. Humility doesn't mean that someone doesn't know who they are. Humility means that they know exactly who they are. Rabbi Yosef knew that he was blessed with a capacity for anava. That's a gift he got. And he looked at other people and said, if they would have been able to have this character trait, this quality, this personality, they would have taken a lot further than I did. In other words, even within humility itself, you can feel that humility is a trait to be humble about. He was humble about his humility. His humility, he was saying, I was humble with humility. He said that with full sincerity, knowing that this is a gift that I got from God Almighty. And that if someone else would have been endowed that with that gift, they would have far surpassed me. Rabbi Yosef saw himself and saw what he did in life as just an expression that came out of the gifts that he got from God. Something that he on himself did not earn, did not attain. He didn't attain any level on his own. He just, his Torah learning, he actually gives the example. He says, my Torah learning is like the outgrowth that comes from the ox plowing over the field. Now, when the ox plows over the field, the ox doesn't make anything grow, but it allows for the capacity for things to grow. The capacity for growth is within the nutrients of the soil. That's how it grows. What I've done, that's just allowed the nutrients to come out and to express themselves through beautiful growth. And Rabbi Yosef really felt, genuinely felt that way. He really felt that God gave me this capacity, the capacity for anava. What I've done is just allowed it to come to the forefront, allowed it to spew forth, allowed it to come forward. And this is how we can understand how Rabbi Yosef said that, hey, there's still humility in this world, don't worry. However, dear friends, Rabbi Yosef did attain an incredible thing. Rabbi Yosef had this capacity for humility. Rabbi Yosef was known as a man who was called Sinai. Sinai. You know why he was called Sinai? Because for him, he had within his brain, within his mind, he had the entire Torah lined up, organized. All the Mishnas, all the teachings, all the brises, they were organized like Sinai. And because of that, he actually attained an incredible level. He attained the capacity to be protected from sin. This is different than Yirat Chet, which is similar, which is the fear of sin. But he actually, his Torah learning, he actually reached a plateau. He actually reached a state that Rabbi Yosef himself was protected from sin. He actually reached a state that he was no longer, he no longer fell to his inclinations, to his temptations. He reached that state of being. His gifts allowed him to reach that, and he maintained that. Isn't that something that he did? He made? He created? How can Rabbi Yosef say and actually have this feeling of anava, this feeling of humility, when indeed his work, which came from a gift he got, brought him to an elevated state of being where he no longer had the capacity to sin? Isn't that something that he attained? Isn't that something that he can be proud of? And therefore he's not capable of being an anav, of being humble in the truest of senses? The answer is no. You see, Rabbi Yosef didn't see the Torah learning that he attained, that he studied, as allowing him to elevate himself to a new plateau, to a new stage. No. He remained where he was. The Torah acted as a shield, but the Torah didn't change him. It didn't make him a different person. The Torah acted as a shield, protected him. That's what Torah learning does. But it didn't bring him, it didn't make him, it didn't change him where he can now say, I have become this type of person who is now protected from sin. And that is the reason, dear friends, that Rabbi Yosef had the ability to truly and wholeheartedly say, I have the midah, the character trait, and I have the capacity for anava of the same stature of Rabbi, of Rebbe. I am an anav. Do you know why? Because I've done nothing. I have not done anything. Everything I have is from God. Had anybody done it, they would have utilized it a lot better than I have. And I haven't attained anything. The Torah learning I have, that protects me, but it doesn't make me different. Rabbi Nachman didn't see life that way. Rabbi Nachman looked at his friend, Rabbi Yosef, he looked at his colleague, and he saw this man as someone who has taken God's gifts and has changed himself, has actually elevated his being. Therefore, Rabbi Nachman could not say and could not look at his friend and genuinely say that you are an anav, you are a humble person. You know why? Because you've actually done something. You've actually changed something. You've actually been able to accomplish something. And therefore, Rav Nachman was unable to say that his friend Rav Yosef was humble. That's the reason he just says that he has the character trait of Yiras Chet. Now, why didn't Rav Yosef say about Rav Nachman that he was humble? For a very similar reason. Now, Rav Nachman, a very, very interesting personality. Before he was born, his mother was told by astrologers, by stargazers, that the child in your womb is destined to be a thief. That's who you're going to have. But she didn't accept that. She, from the moment he was born, placed a covering over his head, one of the sources of the yarmulke, prayed and had him pray his entire life, kept his head covered his entire life from the moment he was born. And that protected him. To the point that the Gemara says, the Talmud tells us, at one point his yarmulke fell off, and this urge, this temptation for thievery literally overtook him, and he grabbed onto a branch of dates, and he... In other words, Rav Yosef says, you, Rav Nachman, of course you're a God-fearing man. Of course you're a man who's fear of sin. But that's not who you are. That was superimposed and is superimposed upon you by your prayers, by your head covering. That's not who you are. And therefore, you have not become a Yiras Chet. Rebbe? Rebbe was a Yiras Chet, yes. But you are not a Yiras Chet. However, Rav Nachman looked at himself, and Rav Nachman could not say about himself that he was an anav, because Rav Nachman truly, as we meant, felt that he had accomplished something, that his prayer, that his yarmulke being on his head, his prayers had actually brought about a change, he had reached the capacity not to sin anymore. Therefore, Rav Nachman could say about himself that he had become a God-fearing, a sin-fearing individual, but he couldn't say that he was an anav. He couldn't say that he was a humble man, because he had reached a certain plateau. These worldviews, it's an interesting, Rav Yosef and Rav Nachman, and the Rebbe does this so often in his sichas, it's one of the beauties of studying the Rebbe's sichas, is that we find this common denominator that weaves itself throughout the lives of Rav Nachman and Rav Yosef. You see it in other discussions that they have. And in a seemingly unrelated discussion, we find this very same thread woven within their disagreements. The case as follows. We know that the law is that when you say Shema, you cannot have urine in front of you while you're saying the Shema. It's disrespectful. It's not proper to have urine in front of someone while they're saying Shema, unless it's diluted. So here comes the argument between Rav Nachman and Rav Yosef. How can one dilute the urine in order that it is allows one to say the Shema? Okay. Rav Nachman says it depends. It depends. If you actually have this urine there in front of you, then to dilute it, you have to put in a full revius, which is a measurement, a quarter of a lug of water. That dilutes it. However, if you have water there first, even if it's a very small, minute amount of water, the water has the capacity that as the urine is coming on it, it dilutes it slowly but surely. Bottle, in other words, with each drop, the first drop of this putrid substance comes into the water, it now becomes diluted by the water. The next thing, it becomes diluted by the water, and so on and so forth. Rabbi Yosef says, no. It makes no difference whether this putrid substance comes first, whether it comes later. You always need a revius of water. You always need this measurement of water in order to dilute the urine. Now, this is an interesting discussion, what that has to do with humility, or what that has to do with this, with our previous discussion. But the Rebbe finds and sees, shows this is the exact same discussion. Look, here you have something of purity, water. What is its effect on impurity? Rav Nachman is the one who feels that the Torah, that you can internalize it and it can actually change you. Well, the water has that capacity to actually change this putrid substance, to change this urine. It has that capacity. And therefore, so long as it comes first, it qualitatively has the ability to do it. Rabbi Yosef says, no. This has nothing to do with the quality of the water any way, shape, or form. Quantitatively, when you have a revius of water, when you have this amount of water, what does it do? It has the capacity to protect, to put aside, and to transform this putrid substance, this urine. It has nothing to do with it changing it. This is what it is. Just like the Torah protects from sin, the water transforms the substance and allows one to say Shema in front of it. In other words, what you see here is, what is the impact of holiness on unholiness? What is the impact of Torah learning on the ability on it to be able to change me to become a God-fearing person? Does Torah just merely protect from sin, or does it have the capacity to come within the fiber of my being, and does it have the capacity to change myself? This is the perspective, the worldview of Rav Nachman and the worldview of Rav Yosef. Rav Nachman is of the opinion that it has the capacity to change you, and Rav Yosef has no. But dear friends, if Torah, Yiddishkeit, if our learning, if when we really invest ourselves and we work on ourselves, is that has the capacity to change us, then how can we ever experience true humility? Aren't we working? Isn't it actually changing us? If what we're doing is having an impact, then it's not just a gift from God that we have. Yes, it's a gift from God that we have. We've worked at it. We've done it. And now we've reached a certain plateau, a certain state of being. And that certain plateau we reach is as a result of our efforts. It's not just as a result of the Torah that sort of superimposes itself on us. It's as a result of our efforts itself. So how can there ever be true humility? How can Moshe ever become humble? Which is the question we started the entire, our discussion today began with this. Moshe, he was a prophet. It was given to him. Moshe reached certain plateaus. He studied Torah. The Torah is actually called Moshe's Torah. Torah and Moshe became one. According to Rav Nachman, the Torah must have changed Moshe. And the Rebbe here offers the explanation and the key answering the question, which is, there is humility, and there is humility. We began our discussion today by saying that humility comes as a result of a two-step thought process. And that's true. That's called, Kabbalistically, the humility that comes from Bina, from my analysis, from my ability to comprehend, to understand, and that causes me to become a humble person. However, there is an anivus, there is a humility, that is that of an entirely different nature, different stratosphere, that really has no connection to this. And that is the essential existence of humility. In other words, the connection with Hashem to the point that I don't feel myself to exist. Just as God is called humble, in God's greatness we are told we find his humility, the essence of selflessness. There is a capacity, maybe not for us, but Moshe, but certain individuals have the capacity of anava, have this capacity to be godlike. Tzaddikim, righteous people, are a reflection of the divine, and therefore they can truly exist, work on themselves, reach high plateaus, and nonetheless remain truly, truly humble. Why? Because they genuinely do not feel themselves to exist. That is what we mean when we say that Moshe was the most humble man who walked the face of this earth. We don't mean humility in the sense that you and I talk of it. When you and I talk of humility, we talk about thinking about this and saying, listen, I had opportunities, it's not me, other people with those opportunities would have done a lot better than me, and that really does instill a feeling of ma'od, ma'od, ha'vishval ruach, b'fnei kol adam, genuinely feeling belittled in front of other people. However, when we talk about Moshe's humility, that's not what we mean. When we talk about Moshe's humility, what we mean is an individual who truly is a reflection of Hashem and simply does not take up space. That is what we mean. And therefore, Rav Nachman felt that that cannot exist anymore. Rav Nachman says there is no humility anymore. Rav Yosef says there is humility. Maybe Rabbi Yosef was talking about the humility that you and I can attain. But Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Nachman says, no, Torah does genuinely change us. Torah does genuinely have an impact and an influence on us. What we study, we actually attain a certain level. We actually grow. And therefore, true humility in the ultimate sense is simply not possible. Why? Because we're not at the level of Moshe. Once Rebbe, the last Moshe was Rebbe. The last one to have that was Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi. We can exist on the second level of humility. This is what we mean when we say that Moshe was the most humble man who walked the face of this earth.